Now we're going to read from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 24. Let's begin, we could read it all, but let's begin at verse 29. Matthew chapter 24 is often referred to as the little apocalypse, like the little book of Revelation, and we're going to read halfway through it. Matthew 24 and verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen, and we thank God for his inspired, infallible, inerrant word. I remember being told that you shouldn't start by saying, I take for the text, and then read a verse from the Bible, and I never understood why, because it tells you what I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. I take for the text, Matthew 24, verses 34 and 35. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Note well within these two verses, passing away appears three times. In verse 34, this generation shall not pass or pass away till. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. And at the end of verse 35, my words shall not pass away. So there you are, you've got my 3 points in a nutshell there. Things do pass away, don't they? Some things you're glad pass away. I remember one who, when I was struggling with a particular problem, said, well, certain is God's word that says, and it came to pass. And things do come and they pass. And some things we regret their passing. Remember what the world was like when, as children, everything seemed, well, maybe not necessarily for every individual, but for many of us, things seemed secure, and the sun shone, and everything seemed lovely. We were poor, but actually, in our hearts, we were rich. And how different the world is. Because that English way of life, or in your case, it might have been Scottish way of life, or whatever, it seems to have gone. It's just passed. And there are so many things that we might recall, and they are no longer. Why, even, actually, the chapel that had every pew filled. I don't know about your childhood, but when I was a youngster, I went to a church where there were probably about 350 every Lord's Day, and we thought it was a sort of modest sized church. It wasn't ever so big. Well, today you'd be thrilled at the 50, let alone the 300, wouldn't you? You know, days have changed. Things change. Change and decay all around I see, as sometimes we sing. A lot has changed for me in the past 3 years. 3.5 years ago, I was surprised that the little nursery that we operate had to leave accommodation that I assumed was secure forever. We moved to 4.5 acres of ancient woodland and a field, and set up a sort of encampment. And when we started then, it was 3 years ago, it was in the October, the beginning of the October 3 years ago, we didn't have a building or even a wooden shed. I put up a marquee from which to operate and some gazebos, and we cooked our first dinner for the children in a gazebo, and were quite amazed that bangers and mash worked. And then, you may recall, that was the year when we had named storms. Don't know I was ever really aware of them before that, but there was a named storm forecast for the end of October. I tried to make the marquee secure, really pinned it to the ground, and then thought, what's going to happen, you know? And of course, the winds did blow. What was prophesied in the weather forecast came to pass. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, we have got the prophecy, the words of Christ concerning what will happen at the end. The end of history as we know it. The first thing that I will draw to your attention, I suppose I might be clever if I just ignore it. Perhaps we should have gone straight to verse 35, but we're going to start in verse 34 with the first thing that is referred to as passing away. This generation, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, this is the difficult bit, because there are those who will take this reference and say, this generation, well, when Jesus said it, that generation has passed and these things have not occurred. So we can't really take all this too seriously, can we? I mean, it's faltered in that very detail, has it not? And probably we need to think clearly about the meaning of the word generation. This generation shall not pass. That's the crucial issue, isn't it? If this generation refers to the people of our Lord's day, well, they have gone, haven't they? None of them lived these millennia. So, how are we to take this? There are various approaches adopted by commentators, but there are those reliable commentators like Hendrickson and Bishop Ryle, who coincide in what they say about the Greek word that is rendered here generation. it does not have to be translated generation. Neither is it always in our Bibles. It could be this race, or it could be this nation, which is how it is taken, for example, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse, if you have the authorized version, a perverse nation, perfectly legitimate translation. And it could have been rendered in exactly the same way in verse 34. This nation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, if that is a correct way of understanding the text here, if that is a correct way of rendering it, then actually the verse becomes not so much a problem as almost confirmatory, because this nation of Israel has not passed away yet at all, has it? And doesn't look like it's going to. In fact, we might say, if anyone thinks that the nation of Israel is going to be obliterated and wiped out, they should think again. They survived AD 70 and the sack of Jerusalem. They survived the Second World War because it's all in the purposes of God. And this nation will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Don't let anyone think that he's going to obliterate the nation of Israel. Israel is here to stay until these things have been fulfilled. So you see what some take as a problem by which they will cast aspersions at the integrity of Scripture might be taken in a completely different way and give to us a different sense, and actually make us feel very encouraged about something in the world that we can rely upon, God's ordering of the nations, and in particular Israel. Whether Israel does right or whether Israel does wrong, secure in the purposes of God, its existence. There is one thing that will come to an end, but will not pass until the fulfillment of what the Lord speaks of in Matthew chapter 24. The second passing away, at the beginning of verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. We should not think that what God has created, this order of things, the cosmos, we should not think that it's going to go on forever. This is actually very big, isn't it? We're not now saying, my little world won't look the same in 10 years' time. And that my house will remain forever. You know, it's interesting. When you work outdoors all the time, you begin to realize that nothing is very permanent. Whatever I put up, I put up a wooden shelter, and after a few years of hot summers and wet winters, it all begins to rot. You live in a brick-built house, it gives the illusion of permanence. But it is only an illusion, because how many houses have you been in more than, say, 500 years old? Any of 1,000 years old? Because even our brick houses only last so long, don't they? Especially if they were built in the 50s or 60s. or 70s, they've been pulled down and replaced. Things are not permanent. But what I'm saying now is much bigger than this. Heaven and earth, the very substance of the cosmos, is going to pass away. And of course, as we learn from the book of Revelation, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we praise God that it's so, because that new heaven and new earth is going to be just so wonderful. Revelation chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, with all its problems, with all its challenges, with all its corruption and all its sin. It's going to pass away. God's going to do away with it. And of course, essentially, that is the message of Matthew chapter 24 and of the book of Revelation. Things are not going to go on as they are forever. And we should praise the Lord that it is so. The second coming and the end of the world, of course, are a warning and a threat to the wicked. But for those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, here is glorious promise, the blessed hope. Imagine it, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and war shall be no more. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
So, things that pass away. This nation will not pass away until these things are fulfilled. And when these things are fulfilled, the very cosmos will pass away. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. They're the first 2 points. The third, you find at the end of verse 35, but my words shall not pass away. You know, there are those things that are just forever. God himself. When I have the little children gathered round for the creation story, they haven't stopped me telling children the creation story yet. When I tell them the creation story, I start by laying out a black piece of cloth on which I am then going to portray 6 days of creation pictorially. But I lay out a black cloth and I say, this is the oldest story in all the world, because this is the story of how things began. When there was absolutely nothing, there's the black cloth. When there was absolutely nothing, except God, of course, because God always was and always will be. And his Son, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, the Son of God, eternal, always there. Here is something else that will not pass away. His word. His word will be right up until these things are fulfilled. And we will be saying, it's just what it says in the word. And until afterwards, because afterwards we'll be able to say, it's true. It has all come to pass. God's word is true. This will never pass away. Now, I think that this is absolutely amazing. That we have that which is utterly reliable, unchanging, forever. God's word. How precious. No wonder it is that at Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth's coronation, it was said, and actually in almost the same words, at the coronation in the spring of King Charles III, I give you the most precious thing this world affords. I think in the spring it was the most valuable thing. In 53 it was the most precious thing. But it is the most precious. Look, you've got it. You've got it with you probably. You're perhaps handling it at this very minute. The most precious thing this world affords. Everything else disappears and vanishes and changes. But the word of the Lord endures forever. We need to value God's word. Let us not take for granted these precious things that have been entrusted to us. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Something so precious, so valuable, and we dare not be casual about these things. Yeah, I remember decades ago, I used to go to a shopping precinct. Shopping precincts seem to only just have been invented, but I used to go on a Saturday afternoon with my wooden box and stand and hold forth, you know. And surprising in those days how people would gather. Well, of course they still do in Hyde Park, and maybe in other places too, although many places they don't let you do it now. But anyway, this is the point that I'm coming to. One Saturday afternoon I had finished, and I got down off my box and put down the good book and got into conversation with this one and that one, when a lady came over and she said, "Look at that. Isn't that disgraceful? Someone has left the Bible on the pavement." And I felt so guilty because I thought, well, there are many religions in the world where they would never leave their scriptures so casually. And what a witness. Somebody has actually noticed what I've done. Now, it is not that we treasure in particular the leather binding or the India paper or the quality of the ink, although I must say I do like those things, but the word, God's words, and I'm not ashamed to speak of it like that, God's words. If we value His word, then this will be like no other book to us. How we will treasure it, and how important to us that its translation is accurate. How important that we know it. And what a blessing when we read and we say, "This is direct to my heart. This is the very verse I needed." Or when I offer it to somebody else and I say, you take this. This, I think you will find, really does you good. You know, when I was a boy at school, I was a slow learner to read, but when I eventually got the hang of it, you couldn't stop me. And my school teacher was a Christian, and she gave to me a little John's Gospel, and I am so grateful to her, because I read the little John's Gospel in the Authorized Version. I might have been a slow learner to read, but it was no problem to read the Authorized Version as opposed to anything else. I read it and I thought, this is wonderful. What a man, this Jesus. What a man. I've got to read it again. Which I did. And I learned to love and trust it in Jesus and be a follower of Jesus because she gave me the scripture which endures forever, which will never pass away. How valuable, how precious, what a tool we have. That nation will pass away eventually, but not until these things are fulfilled. The very cosmos will pass away, but not the word of the Lord. We can trust his word. He won't change it. We can trust in what we read. And if he says that this is right, it's right. If he says it's wrong, it's wrong. And if he says this is the way, this is the way. And if he says this is what's going to be, it is what is going to be. And what he says is going to be, well, you can read it in Matthew 24. Read it all. It's all going to be eventually. Some of it fulfilled, some of it yet to be fulfilled. It's coming, and the Lord is coming. It's true. And that means that we need to be prepared for that. To be right with God, believing in the blood of Jesus. Our lives sorted before him, so that when he comes, we should not be ashamed. Forgiven our sins, and walking with the Lord. The weather forecast said that there was going to be some named storm. Ridiculous speed of winds. I needed to get my marquee sorted. The wind blew that night, and when I arrived the next morning, well, it had been ravaged, but I had prepared for that storm, and the marquee at that time was still standing. It needed a bit of tinkering around. Perhaps I could have been a bit better prepared. At least I'd taken the forecast seriously. Let us take God's word very seriously. And of course the challenge is, are we well enough prepared? Amen.